The classic Australian tourism ads that show off Paul Hogan, our pristine beaches and vast wilderness, hide a dark secret. For these idyllic scenes to exist, it has been at the expense of other countries' landscapes, namely China. Our habits when it comes to recycling are ingrained as a nation. We're taught from a young age the importance of recycling, and we feel pretty damn pleased with ourselves about doing it too. Yet a large portion of the population are unaware with what actually happens with our waste after we've carefully sorted through it and disposed of it in our yellow bins. Since the 1980s, China has been the primary destination for waste from Western countries, including Australia, the US and UK. Along with dealing with its own massive amount of waste, China has been the largest importer of recyclable materials on the planet. In fact, it has been taking in more than 30 million metric tons of waste from all over the world, putting our problems out of sight, up till now. China, of course, has not been importing waste for no reason. They have received lucrative financial benefits that have contributed to its rising industrial and economic position. However, their intense industrial boom has led to dangerous levels of pollution and tons of illegal rubbish being imported. To combat this, in recent years, China has pledged to grow green, making impressive reductions to its emission levels. Unlike the West, China has been fiercely looking towards the future with plans to dominate the green energy markets and renewables. As part of these changes, China recently banned foreign waste imports, including waste paper, textiles, plastics, and certain types of metals, under a policy known as National Sword. So what exactly does this mean for the way we recycle? And what has the ban revealed about Australia's position on renewables and recycling? Australia's recycling industry is currently ill-equipped to deal with the loss of China's service, and now many are predicting a rise in prices that ratepayers will have to fork out. Victorian ratepayers are expected to pay an extra $60 a year to cover the cost of recycling. In response to the ban, recycling company Visy stopped accepting curbside recyclable waste from 22 Victorian councils, creating uncertainty around what will happen to the rubbish. However, the Victorian government has now announced a relief package to the value of $13 million to help councils deal with the changes in the short term. But after July 1st, these councils will be on their own without any long-term solutions. The change has revealed an industry that, contrary to government statements, is dependent on China's service. There is now an estimated 1.25 million tonnes, or 20%, of Australia's recycling with nowhere to go. Gail Sloan, the CEO of the Waste Management Association of Australia, thinks that the crisis could be a positive outcome for Australia. Sloan believes that the problem will force Australia to overcome its short-sightedness on the issue, and it can develop a more sustainable method of recycling. I spoke earlier to Gail and asked what sort of policies would the WMAA like to see implemented, both in the short and long term.
So in the short term, we want to see the market development primarily. There's a bit of financial support required to help through this for the next six to 12 months. But the sort of financials we're talking tend to be around about less than a dollar a household per week. But the key is the fact that whilst we put products in the yellow bin, we actually need people to buy the products that get made from at the other end. And for quite a long time, Australia has not understood the need to buy recycled product or support that recycled manufacturing industry. So that's the key. We want to see in the medium to long term, and starting this Friday with the Minister's meeting, we want to see mandated green procurement, which we see in Europe and other places, and we want to see mandated recycled content and manufacturing. So they're the two key things that we're really, really pushing hard for this Friday.
Many have been urging for Australia to move towards establishing a circular economy. But what does this mean exactly?
So that's a movement that started probably in the early 2000s in Europe and is actually part of why China is doing what it's doing. So it's recognising that we need to build more self-sustaining practices in how we design, manufacture and use products So what I mean, if you think about your classic, your drink bottle, so, you know, you buy your water bottle off the shelf, nearly 95% of those containers are only ever used once. If we think about the circular economy, what we're saying is we design to reuse and repair so that we keep the valuable product that's in that, so the virgin material, circulating for as long as possible. So that means we turn that water bottle back into a water bottle, and all the great benefits come of manufacturing and the job creation by doing that, and also the double benefit of not taking more virgin material out of the planet.
It's agreed that a nationwide approach seems to be the most logical. Yet, Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg has said in a statement that waste management and recycling is primarily the responsibility of state, territory and local governments. I asked Gail whether a problem that needs a nationally coordinated effort can be solved on a statewide basis.
Yes, it needs a national coordinated approach. It is correct to say the states would end up implementing probably 80% of the legislation required, but we do need to have a common view as to where we want to take Australia. It would be, for example, a nonsense to think individual states would negotiate with China when you have these sort of issues.
Gail expressed the need for Australians to not only recycle, but to buy recycled products.
Buy recycled, not just recyclable.